Mazzara and Parra project to Alamora. Herrera, Cabrera, don't let the Bay that scare ya. Machado or Bono or Nolan Garantano.
We'll teach you how to win Rondo. Start, sit, and drop, and all you need to know. Alamoric Porcello. Now let's get on with the show.
Should Clayton Kershaw be the number one overall player in fantasy right now going forward rest of the season? Or will he actually have to miss a start or maybe go on the DL? We're going to talk about it right now on Fantasy Baseball Today, plus Lucas Giolito, Brian Dozier, Scott White, Al Melchior. Everybody's so important today. Good morning, Scott and Al.
Good morning, Adam.
What's
good
up?
Morning.
What's going on?
Well, let me ask you this. Does your attitude toward Clayton Kershaw change knowing that he's seeing a back specialist?
Well, yeah, I know. It's kind of stolen the thunder of this opening topic here. You know, I really feel like I was finally at the point where I would rather have Kershaw than anyone else in fantasy, but not until we get the clearance that he'll be fine.
Well, I mean, the guy that I've been sticking with as number one is Bryce Harper, and it's not as if he hasn't had injury issues. If there was a news item right now saying he was seeing a back specialist, I'm not sure. I mean, because it's so tight between him and Trout, I guess that probably would be a difference
tight.
Maker.
It's tight.
Yeah,
it's like a back.
Tight like a tiger. so what I'm trying to say is that I think even with the back issue, we have to see exactly how serious it is, but I think I'm about ready to flip the switch and go to Kershaw.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
You know, I don't really think the back is a big deal because it's been bothering him for weeks and how many number one player in fantasy type starts has he had during that time? So I don't know that would influence me. It's what I'm saying. I don't know that I'm ready to move him up to number one, but it's a worthy discussion.
Yeah, it is. I don't know that we have to go too much further into it, but let's see what happens with Clayton Kershaw. Hopefully he'll make another start. It could mean that Julio Urias will make another start. He is 80% owned. He did walk six yesterday, but had only issued one walk in each of his previous five outings. So, you know, what should Urias do, owners do right now?
I think you just have to hold because, you know, I've kind of made a joke after the last start when they said, okay, he's going to make another start, that they're just going to keep doing this. But yeah, Dave Roberts said after this one that he expects him to make another start. So, the lack of certainty is frustrating, but a couple good signs with this start. He went six innings, first of all, so not only was he able to get the quality start, but he got the win, and he threw 100 pitches to do it. So if anything, seems like they're loosening the reins a little bit.
Yeah, and I mean, if this next start is the last start for right now, who's to say that Urias won't be back in the rotation, you know, in a month?
Right, so right. They did that same approach with Ross Stripling. They shut him down for a while, and now he's ramping back up again. I don't know the science behind that. It seems kind of counterintuitive because you're wasting a lot of pitches in the ramping up process, but they know a lot more about it than I do.
Oh, man, speaking of ramping up, look at Scott White. Scott White is, like, rocking and rolling in his chair there. He missed Monday's show. He wasn't on Tuesday, as you know, normally the case. He must be just raring to go today.
Yeah, it might have something to do with that chocolate frosted donut I just ate,
too. Oh.
A little bit of a sugar rush here.
Oh, it's breakfast day, isn't it?
It is.
Man, I miss breakfast day. Love me some breakfast day.
Best day of the month.
Fort Lauderdale office. Yep, always the best day of the month. All right, guys, I want to tell you about a couple of things. First of all, we're going to have, assuming it's okay with Scott now and maybe Heath and Chris, whoever's going to be available, on Friday I'd like to record a 20 to 30 minute mailbag that we can air on Monday, July 4th, since we will not have our typical Monday weekend recap. So hopefully we'll get that going, a little mailbag show. You can email us at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. If you like picking games, maybe wagering on baseball, please go to sportsline.com. And you can sign up there at sportsline.com/podcast for $10 a month. $10 a month for awesome betting advice. And we got this guy, Mike McClure, who you've heard on the Daily Fantasy Live podcast, brought him onto the Sportsline podcast. He created this WOBA model, weighted on base average model, to pick games. and he's 68-33, which is legendary. And after just a few weeks, he's up 28 units. So this is unbelievable stuff that you can get on sportsline.com, or you can follow the Sportsline Twitter account just to get a little taste for it. But go to sportsline.com/podcast, and we also have an opening line podcast, which is a lot of fun. So let's talk about Tuesday's standouts. Coming up on the show, I'll get your guys' thoughts on Syndergaard and Mats. Zach Greinke, it was a kind of an injury-prone day. I don't know. Injury-filled day. Zach Greinke, oblique. Lorenzo Cain, hamstring. Carlos Beltran, hamstring. Alex Colome is on the DL. We'll get into all that. We've got a lot of emails that I want to read. One about D. Gordon. One about A.J. Reed, Corey Kluber. But first, I think we got to start with Lucas Giolito. How good was this start yesterday? I wasn't really blown away. What about you?
Only, you know, the strikeouts stand out. There wasn't that many of them, but I liked the stuff. I liked the way he looked. He gave up only one hit. It was abbreviated because of the rain delay. So I don't know how fairly we can assess him based on that. I mean, I wouldn't be letting him go unowned because he had only one strikeout in four innings, you know?
That, two swinging strikes.
Yeah. That definitely stands out. But so does the fact that he got through those four innings in 45 pitches. So very, very efficient.
Well, you know what's efficient? When he walks, guys, he does it with just four pitches. He had two four-pitch walks.
Yeah.
I don't know. I agree. Like, I'm not dropping him. I picked him up in our podcast league. It's not like I'm discouraged or anything. But I wasn't blown away. I don't know how much you guys watched.
That's fair.
Yeah.
But who's blown us away in their first start as a major league debut this year? Right?
That's also, I mean, probably Blake Snell came the closest.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he's done so little since.
You know what's interesting?
And even that was five innings. Yeah.
I just realized this yesterday. I didn't say it on the air. But Tyone, Giolito, and Arias all debuted against the Mets.
Oh, yeah.
How weird is that?
And Tyone's been paying for it ever since.
Yeah. His first two starts were against the Mets. And it is an easy matchup, too. We need to take that into account. All right, so Giolito, 76% owned. Arias, Giolito, who are you preferring right now?
I'd say Arias.
Okay, well, I like what Arias has done.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I just think that Giolito, whenever he does settle into the rotation, which I'm guessing this may be one and done or maybe two and done, but when he does settle in, I imagine that then he's going to be there for the long haul, and they're not going to put him in the bullpen or make his usage as restrictive as Arias.
But when's a big question. I mean, I guess Gio Gonzalez, you could make a case for him getting bumped, mm-hmm. although he's so entrenched that would, you know, so entrenched, I mean, he's established, he's been a starter a long time, been a successful starter for a long time. So I'm skeptical of that even happening. It just seems like it would depend on somebody getting hurt.
Which has happened.
Even though we have this innings limit looming for Arias, I still feel like you're going to get more out of him this year.
You know, by the way, how do you guys feel about Brock Stewart starting tonight for the Dodgers? Should we pick him up? He's facing Milwaukee before it's too late. Before he has his good start and everybody wants him.
Yeah, I'm not really that worried about that.
Okay. Okay.
A lot of strikeouts in the minors, but I don't know. Not exactly a highly rated prospect coming into the year.
Well, those have been the best ones.
Yeah, well,
that's right. Daniel Mengden.
And we might have another one, Aaron Williamson, who might come up for the Red Sox, 27-year-old who's having a very late breakout.
Yeah, we talked about him yesterday for sure. Al, last week we talked about Brian Dozier. You called him a sell high. He said, take that, Al Melchior. I'm going to homer four times in three games. How about this? Brian Dozier has nine games with an extra base hit. Nine straight games. That's more impressive than just nine games. Nine straight games with an extra base hit. He's now doing what he does, better in points than Roto. Number six second baseman in points, number 13 in Roto for the season. Okay, Al, what do you think right now about the Doja man?
I still think he's a sell high, and this is not typically how it works because I actually started him in our podcast categories league this week for the first time since week three. Mm. And that's usually a sure sign that somebody's going to hit the skids. But Yeah, it's just the batting average keeps rising, and I think we know who Dozier is. I had some doubt because I thought maybe he had been hurt, with the hip issue since late last season, and maybe he was going to be something less than what we've come to know him as. I think we can certainly erase those concerns now, but he's somebody I think who ultimately is going to settle in rest of season hitting about 240.
Right. Yeah. Right now the batting average is 259, so he's on a nice little hot streak. Melvin Upton, Scott, I want to ask you about Melvin Upton. This is a guy that Al pumped up last week a little bit. I think I poo-pooed it. Maybe I shouldn't have. He's 64% owned, and he's the number 34 outfielder in points leagues, but number 21 in Roto. Much better in Roto because the walk-to-strikeout ratio is terrible. But yeah. 18 steals, now 12 home runs. What do you think about Upton? 64% owned, batting .364 in his last 14 games.
I feel like I should know better, particularly as a Braves fan. But you look at what kind of pace he's on, a 25 homer, 37 stolen base pace. He has never, those pretty good years he had with the Rays before signing that big contract with the Braves, he never had a season where he had as many as 25 home runs and 37 stolen bases. So Melvin Upton is having a career season. And
definitely his best season as Melvin Upton.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah, and nearing the halfway point of the season, I don't know that there's... I still don't think you need to rush out and add him in a points league, which are typically only three outfielders. But in Roto, he's looking like more than just must-own. He's looking like must-start.
Are we buying that? Like, would you be willing to buy Melvin Upton in a categories league and think that you got yourself a starter for the rest of the season, or maybe some weeks here or there you sit him, but for the most part, a guy you're willing to start?
I don't feel like I'd want to trade for him just because knowing how bad it's been for him very recently. But I don't know that I feel like I could get enough good enough return to trade him either. I feel like he's just kind of enjoy it while it lasts, and because maybe it'll last all season. This isn't entirely out of character. What was out of character were those two seasons with the Braves. But we don't really know what changed for him then and what's changed for him now. So it's kind of a head scratcher.
And I do agree with Scott. This is a terrible time to trade for him just because he is so hot. And his season's been just alternating extreme hot and cold streaks. But with a 64% ownership rate, there are roto leagues that he's not owned in that he needs to be owned in. So if you are in a league where Upton's on waivers, a roto league, I do think he's must add.
Anybody that stood out to you guys yesterday that we haven't talked about yet? Must talk about, guys.
Nothing is going to get the podcast audience stoked up like a good Kyle Gibson discussion.
Oh, please. Don't do it. Don't go there with Kyle. No, he had a great start yesterday, and he's been better lately.
Yeah, well, two really good starts back-to-back. The last one was the Phillies, and it would be pretty easy to dismiss that one. 14 swinging strikes against a team that is pretty aggressive and doesn't make great contact. The White Sox, not a great offense, but a better test than the Phillies, and came back with 15 whiffs in that one and 7 strikeouts and 7 innings. So, just 2 starts for Gibson, but, last season in the second half kind of emerging as a potential strikeout threat, and maybe he's doing it again.
Maybe. Did you guys talk much about, because since I've missed the last two, feel like I've missed a lot.
You have.
Did you guys talk about Prince Fielder?
Yeah, a little bit. We called him a start this week. He had pretty good matchups. He had a good stadium. I don't know if they're home, but at Yankee Stadium was a good one. But I don't know if they're home the second half of the week. He's hitting a lot better. I know, Scott, you were a holdout on Prince Fielder. You must be pretty happy right now.
I can't remember if I did end up dropping him in a league or two finally. Not across the board, I know, but I was beginning to lose faith because June has been a resurgent month for a lot of the studs who just had scared a lot of people away based on the way their first third of the season went. But Giancarlo Stanton homered again yesterday. We talked about Brian Dozier and his awesome June. Adam Jones has had a ridiculous June. It has him back in the top 20 outfielders in points leagues. And Prince Fielder was still lagging behind. It started to make me nervous. But yeah, last Last 10 games, 353 with two home runs. It's too short of a stretch to be like, to think he's back, especially since it's, you know, in 10 starts, it's only two home runs, and usually, you know, hot stretches are even hotter than that.
Right.
But it's something, it's reason to hang on, especially since the strikeout rate is still very good.
Okay. All right. Hold on for one more day. So the big news. Noah Syndergaard and Steven Matz will not miss any starts as of now as they deal with bone chips in their elbows. Matz is going to pitch tomorrow. Yeah, we did. What's that?
Did you want to? I remember you texted me yesterday morning because you wanted me to chime in on Syndergaard and Arrieta, right?
Yeah.
Do you still want me to?
Yeah, Syndergaard. I want you both to chime in on Syndergaard.
Okay.
I mean, look, with Matz, I think it's pretty obvious. He's going to pitch tomorrow, but I think you just got to wait and see what happens. In terms of, you know, trading for him or getting rid of him or whatever. But Syndergaard, I want to know where you're both at with Syndergaard. Al, I'll start with you. You know, because yesterday we had a couple of trade offers that our email were submitted. Carlos Correa for Syndergaard, George Springer for Syndergaard. And I don't know, it wasn't an easy call either way. So Al, you tell me what you're thinking about a guy who's been the number 10 starting pitcher so far in both formats.
I wouldn't trade for him, at least not maybe as a buy low, given the concern with the elbow. But I mean, it was Springer and Correa was the other one.
Yeah.
To get Syndergaard. No, I would definitely not do that right now.
No, I wouldn't have done that even before the elbow spur, to be honest. I mean, those are elite level hitters. I know Correa's not quite been, but he's another guy having a big June.
Yeah, exactly. He's rounding back into form, and I probably wouldn't have done that with Correa before. Springer maybe in a situation where I needed pitching help and my offense was fine. But I wouldn't be trading for Syndergaard right now. You know, that said, he could be fine. You know, he's been pitching with this, and you know, I mean, last start notwithstanding, he's been absolutely fine. So
it's the kind of bone spur that's not going to require surgery after the season, unlike Matz's. And Sandy Alderson, you know, obviously trying to put a positive spin on it. So I don't know where he gets his information from, but I'm just relaying it from the guy's mouth. He says 90% of pitchers in baseball are pitching with a bone spur like the one Syndergaard has. So whatever that's worth.
Okay, well, that's good to know, certainly. Matz seems to be a lot more worrisome. But, you know, I would totally... If you told me that Noah Syndergaard was just fine, I would give up George Springer to get Noah Syndergaard. And that was the whole point of... That was a big theme of what our first two shows of this week has been about, where I'm just really whining a lot about pitching and how bad it is. But, you know,
well... I miss those shows. But would you do it in a roto league with five outfielder spots to fill? And, you know, obviously Springer's strikeouts aren't an issue in that. I mean, he's clearly a stud in that format.
Okay, so...
Questionable on three outfielder points.
I think Springer's been really, you know, really good. I'm happy with it, but he hasn't been a top five outfielder, which is what I was hoping for. Oh. He hasn't quite... I don't know that I would use the word stud. Certainly must start.
Well, top five outfielder, you're talking about early second round. Has Syndergaard achieved that either? I mean, if we were redrafting today, would he even be a second rounder? Or would he go beyond that?
I
don't think he would. He's not in my top five starting pitchers.
Right, but I feel like we have to reevaluate where pitchers should be going in these drafts. Because, like, in these five outfielder leagues, you know, that we often refer to, I'll give a perfect example. I have lost in the last 2 weeks J.D. Martinez and Dexter Fowler and now Carlos Beltran in our, you know, our auction league, our five outfielder roto league. I have plugged in Tyler Naquin and who the heck else am I starting right now? I'll tell you in just one second. Tyler Naquin and Jason Wirth. Okay? Do I like those guys? No. But what's available at pitcher? There's garbage. You know, Stephen Moya was another guy I picked up who, you know, I was fine with him in this five outfielder format. Pitcher, I'm like praying Brandon McCarthy comes back and he's good. You know, it's just... I think there is a case to be made that I would give up Springer for... for Syndergaard, and I think it would probably be very dependent on just how your team is looking. I don't think it's a no-brainer either way, my personal opinion.
No, I agree. I think it depends on your team need.
Yeah. I've changed my tune big time from every single year I have devalued pitching, and this year...
Well, as somebody who was putting more of an emphasis on pitching than I think either of you two even, certainly more than I have in the past, I don't know. The results are inconclusive. I'm having my best season in a long time in roto leagues. I am, like, destroying most of my roto leagues.
I finally caught up with you in AL only.
Yeah. Yeah.
All year I've been chasing Scott in that league.
And that's even a completely different scenario because it's not, you know, in an AL only league, you're just getting whatever you can. I wasn't really emphasizing one thing over another. But, in my points leagues, podcast league participants know I'm 4-8 in that one. And then in my others, you know, I'm right around 500. So it's not like I'm having a bang up year. I don't know. I'm not really sure how to value hitting versus pitching right now, to be completely honest. I feel like I may have overvalued pitching at the start of the year, but I'd have to go back and look at those teams and see how what I actually drafted is performing as opposed to what's there now.
And see, I'm back to thinking that it's really just about overall value and that you're not necessarily at an advantage emphasizing hitting over pitching or vice versa. And Scott, you allude to the fact I've emphasized hitting more this year than I probably have in any other year. Mm-hmm. And in the leagues, I think particularly where I'm pretty weak on pitching are some of my best leagues this year, including our podcast points league. And I had somebody tweet me the other day who was giving me a hard time for something I said, you know, back in March about devaluing pitching. And he said, you know, here's my roster with all these, you know, great pitchers, and I'm killing my league. Mm-hmm. You know, if I could point to some of my teams and say, well, I'm doing really well, you know, streaming 3 out of 5 pitchers in a points league. So
yeah,
there's more than one way to succeed.
Well, part of the problem too is I think I had the number at 19 ace caliber pitchers coming into the year, but how many of those have actually been ace caliber pitchers? Cause we've had Felix get hurt, Keuchel, Archer, obviously underachieve, Harvey's certainly underachieved.
Well, and that's why
Garrett Cole.
That's the case to be made for Syndergaard in the second round, because it's not like you can just pass up on pitchers in the first 2 rounds and maybe even 3 rounds and be like, oh, okay, well, I got my 2 guys in the top 20 and I'm good. I got them in the 4th and the 5th round. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it just, there have been so many disappointments. And I think what I've noticed is that when you look at waivers, I do feel like in our leagues, hitting is easier to find than pitching. And I think that's reverse from what we usually see. That's my biggest gripe right now with pitching.
Well, Al,
how the hell are you streaming 3 out of 5 spots? Sorry to cut you off, Scott, but
no,
I know I would have forgotten to ask Al. How are you doing so well streaming 3 pitchers a week in our podcast league?
Well, when I say streaming, that's off of the bench and off of waivers. So,
I don't consider off the bench streaming.
Yeah, but you know, maybe it's not an accurate use of the term, but I mean, it fits the bigger point that I'm trying to make, which is that, you know, it's not like I look to have, you know, 4 or even 3 must start guys in that rotation. I mean, and the guys I'm streaming off the bench aren't, you know, necessarily guys that I'm going to, you know, keep for the long haul. So,
Let's look at this team. This is interesting. Al's having a good year in the podcast league. This is his pitching staff. John Lester, Justin Verlander, Danny Duffy, Matt Whistler, Archie Bradley, and Jeremy Hellickson. It's not that good of a pitching staff, but at least you've got 2 guys that you could really depend on.
Yeah, and you know, I've gotten several offers to trade away Verlander and Lester, and I just, my response is the same every time. I can't trade either of these guys.
Right.
They have to be in my rotation every week. But Duffy, Bradley, Hellickson, they've been, you know, on and off my bench. And, you know, I like all 3 of them, but I don't really like all 3 every week. Whistler is a guy I really liked a lot as a 2-star pitcher. It's worked out so well, you know, 1 start down this week. So I think I've had some pretty good luck with, you know, picking the 2-start guys and even some 1-start guys with really good matchups. Yeah, and I think that's had a lot to do with why I've done well so far.
Right, and your hitting's very good. All right, so I'm going to pick up the pace here. Zach Greinke left with oblique tightness. He thinks he hurt himself while swinging during his at-bat in the second inning. Why do we not have the DH in all leagues?
Because hitters pitching is... because pitchers hitting is fun.
Yeah, you couldn't even say it. That's how dumb it is. Lorenzo Cain left with a hamstring injury. Gerard Dyson replaced him. Alex Colome is on the DL with biceps tendonitis. He is eligible to return Monday. Have you guys made any moves regarding the Rays bullpen? Anybody that you want to pick up? Are you thinking this is long term? What do you think?
I'm not thinking it's long term, and I guess I want to believe that because I really don't know who to pick there. I mean, I would think it'd be between Erasmo Ramirez and Xavier Cedeno.
But... yeah, I think I saw that he not only is he eligible to return Monday, but he's expected to. So. Right. But this just assures I'm going to have another loss in the podcast league because, of course, he's in my lineup. So big yeah. fat zero there.
I've had 3 weeks in a row now. I lost Papelbon on, I think, a Monday. I lost Steve Pierce on a Monday. And I lost...
yeah, that was last week because, yeah,
you beat me by 700 points, so it didn't really matter.
Oh, Pierce would have gotten that.
This week I lost Lance McCullers before he even pitched. So annoying. Trace Thompson, this I thought was interesting. Trace Thompson's back has been bothering him for a few weeks. He snapped, I think, an 0 for 17 yesterday. He stole a base. So maybe don't give up on Trace Thompson yet. Hopefully he gets healthy. And I just picked him up in our 16-team league this morning. I had dropped him. I saw the back news, and he's back on my team. Carlos Beltran left with an injury. Now, the MRI was clean, but I know some people picked up Aaron Judge, who is raking over his last 20 games. How about you guys? What do you think?
He is raking. He was so, like, the results were so underwhelming before this recent stretch that I was kind of dismissing him as somebody who could help in fantasy this year. He's just a guy billed for big power, but not delivering it and striking out all the time. But well, now that he's hot, that changes things. I mean, I do think he would be the first one up if something went wrong.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And look, it doesn't hurt to speculate, especially in a deeper league. But I do feel like Judge is a bit overhyped. And even coming into this year, I just felt like the results didn't match all the hype about the power potential.
No, I agree. But 9 home runs in 16 games. I mean,
that's really good.
That's hot.
Carlos Beltran, though, like I said, hamstring MRI was clean, so hopefully he's back in there soon. He has been awesome. I think he's a top 10 outfielder in Roto and like top about 16 or 17 in points because he just doesn't walk. Aledmys Diaz will miss a few games with swelling above his eye. Steven Strasburg has an upper back strain, so they did some tests and nothing abnormal there. Curtis Granderson left with calf tightness. Joe Panik may be going on the DL with a head injury. here's your autocorrect of the day. Dodgers outfielder Hawk Pedestals left after Hawk. Running into the outfield wall.
Do it with the voice.
This is Hawk Pedestals. That doesn't work.
It doesn't work as well, yeah.
But Jock Peterson. Jock Peterson, so he's day-to-day. Made a great catch yesterday. Helped win the game. Rich Hill's going to start this weekend. Oh, you don't like BVP, batter versus pitcher data? Well, Billy Hamilton is 6 for 10 with 2 home runs and a double off John Lester. He did it again yesterday. He homered off John Lester. He owns John Lester. And College World Series championship tonight. Coastal Carolina, Arizona. Watch it, folks. Now, I wanted to dedicate some time to emails because we got some good ones. So here they are. And I was going to read this quote from Marlins GM, it's Mike Hill, right?
Yes.
Yeah. But I'm not going to read it.
He's technically not the GM anymore, but
okay.
But
yeah.
I digress.
Front office position player guy, whatever. Dude, Mike Hill. He basically had a quote about D. Gordon. It brings us to this email from James in Kentucky. And James says, "Hey, Pierce, Daniel, Sean, and Roger." Those are bonds.
Bonds, yeah.
We're nearly a month away from D. Gordon's return. Does Gordon immediately slot back in as a top 3 second baseman and elite source of steals or an average, or has D. Gordon's value changed? Should he be owned in all leagues at this point? And the quote from Mike Hill was, Whenever D comes back, we'll just continue to be creative and keep everybody sharp. We always felt Dietrich was good enough to be an everyday player. So, yeah, it's kind of interesting. What do you guys think about D. Gordon, Derek Dietrich?
Yeah, I'll agree with that assessment. I'm probably not top three in points, or at least not a given.
Mm-mm.
But, you know, must start in Roto. And you probably should be. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, the name that popped in my mind because he's been so productive recently is Devin Travis. Like, if you picked up, you already had second base filled in all likelihood, but you picked up Travis because he's hot and D Gordon's out there. Do you drop Travis? I mean, hopefully you have somebody lower in than that to drop. But
yeah, that's a good one because that'd be a real dilemma. I wouldn't. But at the same time, what I would like to do in an ideal world is to drop somebody else for D. Gordon, keep Travis, and bench Gordon the first week or so, see how it goes, and evaluate at that point. Because I don't know if that being creative means that Gordon would sit, a couple times a week. I don't know if there would be, rust after long suspension. So I wouldn't want to start Gordon the first week back.
Yeah, no, and I'm not thinking he touches like Jose Altuve, of course, but also Robinson Cano and Ian Kinsler, who both gained a lot of value since we were rating Gordon so highly at the beginning. Travis is interesting though. Travis at a position with a lot of good players and few great ones. Travis might be verging on like Rougned Odor status for me.
Whoa, really?
Yeah, he's showing the potential to be a great one. 5 home runs in 111 at bats.
After
already.
A very, very slow start.
Yeah, yeah. And it's the same kind of production he was showing last year before he hurt his shoulder. Mm-hmm. So he might legitimately be that good.
Okay. Next email is from Sam in Columbus, Ohio. He says, "Dear Peter, White, and Patches."
Don't know any Patches.
Patches.
Other than my friend's beagle in high school.
It is Patches O'Houlihan, if that helps.
It doesn't.
I know, I've heard that name.
This is a Vince Vaughn movie. And Ben Stiller. And it has the greatest line in movie history, as I've said on this podcast a million times. They got Blazer and Taser and all kinds of Azers. This is Dodgeball. This is
Dodgeball. Yes, Patches O'Houlihan. I remember that now. Okay.
Yeah, this is the Azer line. All right, Sam from Columbus says, another strong start from Corey Kluber. I think that's 4-5. Is it safe to say he's fully back to what we expected coming into the season? Hashtag ERA matters.
That's not a facetious hashtag there?
Yeah, probably.
Sarcastic hashtagging?
Probably. The ERA is now down to 3.50, and yeah, two great ones in a row. They were against Tampa Bay and Atlanta.
Hey, he's benefiting from this, the Indians being good now. The Indians are who we thought they were, finally. And he's 6-2 in his last 8 starts. So when he's not getting burned in the win-loss record, he suddenly looks a lot better, even with a 3.50 ERA.
And the Indians are doing this without Abraham Almonte and Michael Brantley.
Well, okay, is
maybe,
Corey Kluber,
maybe not in that order.
Is Corey Kluber back to where you thought he was at the beginning of the season, or is he still the guy who's going to get roughed up every now and then because he struggles with men on base?
Probably the latter.
Okay.
I picked him to win the Cy Young, and that's not happening. So,
I think I need to reverse position on Kluber. I dropped him down, I think, to 10th from, I think I had him 5th or 6th, so... Yeah, I'm back on board and thinking that all my concern about his troubles with runners on base was not warranted.
Whether or not you reverse or not, you were talking a top 10 starting pitcher. You dropped
my
him
pessimistic
to 10.
View of him was he's an ace.
I feel like some people were dropping him even further than that.
Oh yeah, for sure.
What about this? Would you rather have Syndergaard or Kluber?
Kluber.
I'd rather have Cindy.
Oh,
can I call him Cindy? Does anyone call him Cindy? I don't know that he'd like
I've never
that.
Heard that before.
I think as long as you don't call him that in person, you're okay.
Cindy Lauper on the hill for the Mets tonight. This is from Chris. Filling us in. This email is from Chris. Filling us in on our gelato debate yesterday. I don't know if this is true, Chris. I'm taking your word for it. Gelato is the same exact thing as ice cream, just made with whole milk as opposed to heavy cream. It's perceived as healthier for you. However, there's a higher amount of specialty sugars such as maltodextrose. So why not just eat delicious ice cream?
I didn't know people ate gelato because it was healthier. I just thought they preferred it. I don't. I'll stick to ice cream. Thank you.
Yeah.
Me too. But there's nothing wrong with gelato.
Matt,
you're doing a pinch.
Matt from the desert, California, says, "Dear Mick Jagger, Paul McCartney.
Yeah, that guy.
That's his name. And Bob Dylan. Two questions, one baseball related, one not. First, where is AJ Reed in your rankings? I have Albert Pujols and Hanley Ramirez. Can Reed be better than either of them when he starts hitting? I'm thinking of dropping Gattis for Reed. I have Brian McCann at catcher."
I would guess he could be. I think his upside's higher than present day Pujols, but I would guess he won't be. It'll be close with Hanley. I would rank him behind Hanley for now, especially since Hanley's been so productive recently here. But part of the issue is I don't really know what to expect from Hanley, much less Reed as a rookie.
Yeah, I was going to talk about Hanley Ramirez later, but we might as well talk about him now because he is piping hot. The team hasn't really been hitting that well, but last 16 games, Hanley Ramirez has a .305 average, .397 on base, .559 slugging, 4 home runs, 3 doubles, and 11 runs in those 16 games. But he was pretty bad for a long stretch before that. Overall, Ramirez is number 15 in points, number 14 in roto at first base. So, yeah, he's a confusing player.
Mm-hmm.
Has been basically his whole career.
Yeah.
Well, since the Marlins day, certainly.
Yeah, that's fair. So, Al, who would you take, AJ Reed or Hanley?
I would take AJ Reed, but I think it's a very subjective thing in terms of how much tolerance you have for inconsistency. And I'm just to such a point with Hanley Ramirez that I think he could be hot for another month, and I'd still think that he was on the verge of a major cold snap. So I would rather have Reed than Hanley, but I would not rather have him than Pujols.
But that's the difference between a guy who's 8-4 and has his starting lineup filled out already versus a guy who's 4-8 and is struggling to find a second and third outfielder every week. Hanley being eligible in the outfield.
Oh, yeah. Well, and then the second part of this question, dropping Gattis, when you have two catchers, you don't need to have two catchers, but I do want to point out that Brian McCann once again sat against the lefty. Who would you guys rather have rest of season, McCann or Gattis?
I'd rather McCann.
Me too.
Even if he sits against lefties, he may still play more than Gattis.
Now, the second part of Matt's question was, I know you guys are music lovers. Have any of you been to the Coachella Music Festival, and have you heard of the new music festival named Desert Trip?
Never heard of Desert Trip, and also never been to Coachella. I'm almost positive Chris has been there, Chris Towers. I don't know about Heath.
Well, Matt really should have put you most. Oh, most of you are music. Okay, sorry, never mind.
Yeah,
I felt excluded because I'm always left out of the music discussions, and then I was lumped in with the music lovers, which seemed inappropriate.
Hey, pipe down, no music boy. You're not part of this.
I know. Sorry.
Adam, have you been to Coachella?
I haven't, but listen, I needed to read this because any music fan needs to know about this Desert Trip concert. It's in California. I think it's at the same place as Coachella. But here's the lineup, and it's in, when's the date? October, two weekends, October 7th, 8th, and 9th, and October 14th, 15th, and 16th. Here's the lineup. Friday night, Rolling Stones and Bob Dylan and his band. Saturday night, Paul McCartney and Neil Young. And Sunday night, Roger Waters and The Who. I mean, I don't even like anybody there other than Paul McCartney, really. And I'm still kind of blown away. Like, if that were more convenient for me, I'd be going. That's amazing. You don't get legends like that back to back to back for a festival. That's amazing.
I may go just so I can feel young.
Yeah. You're
the youngest person there.
Yeah, you might be. No, I mean, they're going to be people all ages there. All right, last question. Actually, I don't like this question. We need to get moving and talk more about yesterday's action. So I'm going to tell you about FanDuel. Here's a piece of FanDuel advice for you, people. Don't be contrarian enough to start James Shields. He hasn't earned it, even against Minnesota. In fact, you might want to stack Twins or Yankees against Nick Martinez or Nationals against Logan Verrett. It's a new day. It's a new opportunity to win some money on FanDuel.com, and it's not that hard. You all know fantasy baseball. You're great at it. Play more fantasy baseball. Do it on FanDuel. You can set as many lineups as you want, as many days of the week as you want. No season-long commitment, no big financial commitment, and a special offer for you new users out there. Enter your first league. Either win a cash prize in that league, or FanDuel will automatically refund your entry fee up to $10 for additional play. Go to FanDuel.com, click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, and sign up with our promo code HOMERUN. The promo code, again, is HOMERUN. One word, no spaces. Get on FanDuel. I love FanDuel. Start playing right now. Okay. Some lineup stuff from yesterday. Nomar Mazara sat against a lefty. He has sat three of the last four times they face a lefty, although they haven't faced many lately, those Texas Rangers. But Mazara and Parra project to have high WARA, something like that.
something like that.
But Mazara is struggling. Last 15 games, he is batting 155, and he really is not having a very good fantasy year. He's basically 50th at outfield, right around there.
Yeah.
What do you guys
think?
But
that's after, you know, a bad slump.
He's never been that high. It's just every time I trash him, he goes off for like 3 days. But yeah, really, he's never been that high in the outfield rankings.
You're right. You're right. He hasn't been. And for a while, I mean, before this slump, it was because he was getting burned inexplicably, given how good the Rangers lineup is. He was getting burned in runs and RBI. It just wasn't. He just wasn't contributing in as many of those as you'd think. And that seemed like something that would correct itself. But then the slump happened. And so now he's even on a worse pace for runs at RBI. So I still think he's a good buy low. I still think in the long run, those paces are going to improve. But it's frustrating.
I'll read you some more lineup stuff, and you tell me what stands out, if anything. Mitch Moreland sat against a lefty. Jurickson Profar started at first base. Brian McCann sat against a lefty. Austin Romine started those. That's the third straight time McCann sat against a lefty. But those games have been spaced out enough where they basically have just been kind of normal rest days. Brett Gardner sat against a lefty. He does that occasionally. Tommy Joseph sat. He's been bad. Ryan Howard played first base. Wilson Contreras started in left field with David Ross catching John Lester. Of course, we're waiting to see what happens when Dexter Fowler comes back. Alex Gordon did not start, probably just giving him a rest after he came off the DL a few days ago. And Jungho Gong continues to sit every 4 days or so. Anything I said there really impactful for fantasy owners?
Well, Contreras staying in the lineup obviously is. Catcher eligible, just looking more and more with each day like somebody who belongs in a one-catcher league. Gong, it's just frustrating, but that's a situation that bears watching, because if he does start playing that fourth day that he's skipping, he's in that discussion for shortstop elite.
Okay. Now, let's check on these annoying starting pitchers that we talk about every time they start. Matt Harvey, 3 2/3, 4 hits, 1 run, 3 walks, 3 strikeouts, rain shortened outing at Washington.
Yep.
And Chris Archer. Yeah, it's just not throwing strikes compared to last year. Home run to fly ball ratio is way up. The strike percentage is way down. Those are really the only two things I noticed that are very different from last year, other than like ERA.
Yeah. Whip. But they've been consistently different, and I propose that we stop talking about Chris Archer until those two things change.
I second that notion.
Wait. Does that mean that you don't really think he's a good buy low candidate anymore, Chris Archer?
No, I don't. I don't. I think the stuff is so good that we haven't seen the last of Chris Archer as a high-end fantasy pitcher, but I'm no longer expecting to see it this year.
Okay. Well, it would have to be you're giving away somebody you just don't really care about to get Archer, which could happen. I might make some offers. I feel like guys, all of a sudden, they just, well, I don't know, maybe I'll retract what I was about to say. I was going to say, I feel like guys, all of a sudden, they get their control together. They stop walking people. But maybe, maybe not.
I'm sorry. I thought you were done.
Go ahead. Well,
I'd be more likely to target Stroman, who granted is lower end to start off with. So he's going to be probably a cheaper buy low. Mm-hmm. But I think the problems with him have not been quite as long lasting as they've been for Archer this year. So, I mean, between the two, I'd actually rather invest you know, my time in trying to get Stroman cheap.
At least when I watch Chris Archer, I see dominance at times, okay? And it's reflective in the strikeout rate. When I watch Matt Harvey, I saw it against the White Sox when he had that start on a Monday. It was a two-start week, and nobody started him because he was so bad, and then he had like two good starts. I've seen it occasionally, and of course I haven't seen every single pitch that Matt Harvey's thrown, but I still don't really see it enough, even with the velocity pretty solid. I don't know. I just don't know anymore with Matt Harvey.
That's kind of the state the whole Mets pitching staff is in. The supposed best pitching staff in baseball. Are they still in third place? I know they dropped behind the Marlins,
Marlins
a couple days ago.
Lost yesterday some.
I mean,
they're neck and neck.
It's easy enough to look up, but gosh, that's got to be frustrating for Mets fans. The only pitcher they can trust is Bartolo Colon.
They are in third place. They're half a game behind the Marlins.
Right, because they lost two. So
yeah, they sure did. Mm. All right, Harvey or Archer, who would you rather have?
Harvey.
Yeah, I feel like I have a little more hope for a Harvey turnaround.
Okay. Bullpen stuff. Interesting night in the bullpens. Santiago Casilla was bad, really bad, in a non-save situation. Corey Guerin also struggled, but I would think Corey Guerin would be the guy if they made a move that would replace him. What about you? Or maybe Romo at some point? What do you guys think?
Yeah, and I think you're right about Guerin, because I had been kind of pumping up Strickland as that guy, but he's not really being used in that way. He came in, what, like the sixth in that game, I think?
Strickland, man, they usually throw him for like two-thirds of an inning a lot of times. They use him in all different types of...
Yeah, it's kind of hard to read it. So I would say, yeah, Guerin would be the one to target now.
Two pitchers blew a save last night after seven straight scoreless appearances, Brad Ziegler and Aroldis Vizcaino. I don't think we're worried about either of them losing their roles unless there's a trade.
Right, exactly, unless there's a trade, and both could be traded.
Scott, Corey Kluber has benefited from the Indians winning, but Cody Allen has not. He's gotten two saves during this 11-game winning streak, and Cody Allen is the number 27 relief pitcher in points leagues, number 21 closer in points leagues. You take the Sparps out, he's still not even top 20, and he has the 19th most saves in baseball on a first-place team. That is weird.
Yeah, that is weird. I think that's something that's plagued him the last couple years, actually. You look at his strikeout rate, and you feel like this is a closer to get excited about. But for whatever reason, he's just not getting the save opportunities. And
yeah,
it's annoying.
It's bizarre. Consistent. Same with Hector Rondon. It's more understandable with him, but he blew his third save yesterday. He's got 13 and 16 chances.
Well, I worry a little bit about Rondon just because it seems like the Cubs could be very aggressive and get one of the Yankees elite relievers or, you know, somebody else. And Rondon just doesn't feel particularly safe to me right now as a save source rest of season.
Raisel Iglesias pitched two scoreless innings. They were the seventh and the eighth, though. Tony Cingrani threw an inning and two-thirds in the ninth and the tenth. And Sean Doolittle was unavailable due to soreness. Ryan Matson got a six-out save and did not look good while doing it. You know, we're kind of running out of time. So I want you guys to sort of take a look at the notes, peruse, and tell me what stands out. And I will just say one thing, and then I'll leave it to you. CeCe Sabathia, his final line was really bad. 7 innings, 8 hits, 6 runs, 1 walk, and 2 strikeouts. He got 14 swinging strikes, though, against the Rangers, and he actually pitched really well. They left him in to pitch the 8th inning, so it could have been 7 innings, 2 runs. Instead, it was 7 plus 6 runs. Don't drop CeCe Sabathia after this start. That is the only thing I will say, and you guys can have the floor now.
Yeah, you know, not a lot from yesterday. Actually, one of the things, it's unfortunate for John Jay out with the broken forearm, but that does make me feel very good about Charles Jankowski in roto leagues. I think he could be a good steal source, not just even in the deeper ones.
Yeah, he didn't play yesterday. It was weird. They had Melvin Upton leading off, but Jankowski had been playing a lot before yesterday.
There is a chance. I mean, did you guys talk about Hunter Renfro in relation to that?
Not recently, no.
Possibly getting called up because he's having a good year at AAA, top prospect. So that's something to keep an eye out for. As far as that situation goes, I think one thing we haven't touched on yet is what happened with the Oakland bullpen yesterday. because that situation is growing curiouser and curiouser. Doolittle
that
didn't pitch.
Wait, that is not a word.
It's a reference, right, to, I think, Alice in Wonderland?
Oh, okay.
It's not from familiar. Something.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Well, I'm glad it wasn't, you know.
Yeah.
No, I did mention it. So Doolittle was unavailable, and Madsen pitched two innings, and he got the save, but it didn't go very well. So what's
Oh, you did mention it.
I did, but I didn't really discuss, you know, I just kind of glossed over it. What do we need to know there about the Oakland bullpen?
That's when I was looking for a outlet because my laptop was about to die. What did you, Madsen got a two-inning save. Yeah, yeah. But it was a two-homer save also.
Right.
He got pounded. And so it wasn't the best save ever. And
no.
There's been a lot of those recently for Madsen. I just think Doolittle's looking more like he could potentially be the guy who overtakes that role. And so Madsen owners need to be aware of that.
How close are you guys to dropping Adam Conley and Yordano Ventura, who are both owned in about three quarters of CBSSports.com leagues? Conley and Ventura.
Well, yeah, Ventura was actually one of the things I did mean to mention because I'm having less seller's remorse now. So I had been done with Ventura, slightly regretted it, and now I'm back to being okay with it. So if I had Ventura now, I'd be done with him again.
And, one start?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It was on 10 days rest.
Yes, and he said he felt kind of weird because of that.
It's always something with him, though, isn't it?
It is always something, but I mean, I don't know. Like, compared to Adam Conley, like I feel like I understand Ventura a little more than Conley. And I don't know. We're burning through so many possible pitcher possibilities looking for this guy who's going to stick. And still not sure it won't be Ventura. I mean, he has an issue overthrowing, and it would make sense that he would be overthrowing in after a long layoff like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm still interested. I'm still intrigued.
Are you guys intrigued by Coco Crisp, who is 10 for his last 24 with two home runs, 8 RBIs, 10 runs scored in 6 games, and 6 walks to 3 strikeouts in his last 6 games? So great 6-game stretch for Coco Crisp. Are you intrigued at all?
Not really.
Yeah, I mean, a young unknown player like that, he could really, you know, really break through.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else, guys?
Oh, there's always something else, Adam.
I'll wrap it up. It's okay. We're kind of, I think we covered most of the important stuff. Alex Cobb could begin a rehab assignment soon. Keep that in mind. Anibal Sanchez going back to the bullpen. Corey Dickerson's day-to-day. Trevor Story started. DJ LeMahieu came in as a defensive replacement. And my FanDuel lineup, I don't love it, but I do think you got to go with Danny Salazar tonight at Atlanta. And then I think the pitchers that I'm stacking against, Logan Verrett, he just hasn't been very good, especially against righties. So Wilson Ramos is my catcher. I think the Yankees against Nick Martinez makes sense. Mark Teixeira is in my lineup. Aaron Hicks is 2,300. He's in my lineup. I don't love it, but 2,300. Brian Dozier, great numbers against James Shields, and he's facing James Shields, and he's hitting very well. Danny Valencia at third. I have Tim Anderson at short for 2,500 going up against Nolasco. And I don't know, one of my favorites today is Gregory Polanco. He's only 3,200, and you know, he should be more than that. And Matt Holliday has very good numbers against Edinson Volquez, who's been terrible on the road. And Holiday is $3,400. So it's not my favorite FanDuel lineup, but I think it could win several hundred thousand dollars tonight. So good luck.
That was good working with you, Adam.
Yeah. Everybody go out there and get rich on that lineup. It's going to be all about Danny Salazar tonight at Atlanta. Thank you for your emails. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being here today with us on the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast. Until Thursday, I'm Adam Azer for Scott White, now Melchior. See you later.